pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our calling number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night or day is area code 319-527-6706. That's area code 319-527-6706. And back from assignment is that great American Big Al. Good evening, Al. Welcome back. How you doing?
I am glad to be back, and I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Good to see you all.
Yes, it's great for you to be here. We missed you these last couple of weeks, and I'm glad you're doing well. And there's been a lot going on since you've been gone, and I'm sure you've been following in the news. And today is no different as far as what's happening in the evening cycles, the weekend cycle, the lies, the misinformation and disinformation from the current regime in the White House. It's a never-ending cycle of disinformation. And what would make this weekend any different? Have you been keeping up with the PGA golf, by the way?
Oh, I watched the tournament yesterday, and it was good and very exciting to watch. And the LPGA was going at it, and the Champions Tour. Had a good man. A lot of good golf this weekend.
Yes. So the PGA was in, where they were conducting the Travelers Open in Cromwell, Connecticut. And Keegan Bradley played some great golf this past weekend. And, you know, this New England native wanted to win this tournament. It's only a couple of hours. The course is a couple hours from where he lives. And he entered Sunday's final round with a one-stroke lead, and he won by three strokes, and he did win. He closed the door, got a little shaky there at the end, but, you know, after bogeying the 13th hole, after not having a bogey all weekend, he did manage to hold it together. He did bogey again, I think, was it 15 and 16, but he ended up shooting a 2-under-68. He ended up winning by three shots. He shot in a 60-ball 4 days, which is a really good round of golf, especially when you're 23 under par. Okay, anytime a pro can do that, you know you're playing some great golf. And it was Keegan Bradley's sixth PGA victory, and this was a sweet one for the 36-year-old because he wanted to win in New England, and he did. So, you know, good for Keegan. Happy to see him play well. He's lost a ton of weight.
Yep.
And he's he actually didn't lose any strength. He hits the ball a friggin' ton. Oh, my goodness. Guy's amazing.
Very classy guy, and congratulations on the win. And don't forget about Ricky Fowler. Saw his name back up at the top of the leaderboard. He shot a course low – well, not a course low, but a PGA low of 60, which was phenomenal.
Yeah, it was his personal low. 58 is the PGA
low.
Record.
Yeah,
but yes, his personal low on tour is 60. And, Ricky's back. He played well at the PGA, and he's keeping it going. Whatever he's working with Butch Harmon, it's working, and it's nice to see Ricky back on the leaderboard again. He's good for the game. He's got a good fan base. Good for Ricky. It's really nice to see. The LPGA, they had their major, the KPMG LPGA Championship. It's the PGA Championship for the ladies. It was at Baltusrol Country Club in New Jersey. And I tell you, Baltusrol, congratulations to Baltusrol. And the reason is this is the first time the ladies have been there. They will be at Pebble Beach this year as well. It's nice to see the ladies professional golf play some of the iconic tours that the PGA has played. So this year they were at. Now, sadly or interestingly, Communist China's Rene Guillen stormed back on Sunday. She sunk a 10-foot birdie putt on the 18th hole to win her first LPGA major. It's her second LPGA Tour victory. So Communist China is coming, and it's now in U.S. sports. And it's no doubt that golf is a global game. She held it together. She was up at the leaderboard, up atop the leaderboard for a couple of days. So she played well. Can't fault her for that. American rookie sensation Rose Zhang was two shots back. So Rose Zhang, you know, she looks like she is going to be some player. I mean, her first major as a professional, and she's two shots within the tying for the lead. So good for her. American ladies got to step it up.
But one of our most hated female sports stars is Brittany Griner. She was named the WNBA All-Star starter in her first season since her 10-month arrest and detainment in Russia for drug smuggling. So she is back in the news. Not that I really care, but it is news.
Well, the WNBA needs something to spark interest. They need people to come out, and certainly, you know, they'll put Griner back in the spotlight. I wouldn't be surprised if they dispatch Dopey Joe to shuffle out there and you know, do the ceremony toss of the ball. If he has the dexterity to do it, not sure he even has the mental ability to do it. So.
That should be fun to watch. And then we got the College World Series in play now. I don't know if you're following that at all, but Florida topped LSU 24-4, and then winner takes all in Game 3, which is set for tonight. So I'm definitely going to be tuning in to watch that, even though I hate the Gators, but.
Yeah, they played good. It's a best of three, tied one each with LSU, and my gosh, the best came alive yesterday by the University of Florida. So I know some relatives are thoroughly enjoying that game, and they're probably on edge this evening. They'll be watching. So good for the Florida Gators and LSU. It's a good SEC rivalry. As it stands. So now the rivalry extends from college football now to college baseball. So we'll see who ends up the victor there. And then there was something else in sports that that happened. Now I can't remember, and it had to do with a cross dresser. I don't remember if it was swimming. Can't remember. Oh well. It's out of my mind.
These cross-dressers get into everything these days. Did you see the news story about the LG, the gay cross-dressing transgender, whatever you want to call them? They had a big rally and a protest and a march. And did you hear what their disgusting chant was? Is it, we're here, we're queer, and we're coming after your children.
What?
Let me repeat this. These cross-dressing, militant, homosexual a-holes were chanting, we're here, we're queer, and we're coming after your children. They need to be shut down by the government immediately for just on principle alone.
Yeah, at what point does it become a child predator thing? And you know, this is what the Marxists do. They go into sexualizing the children, and they took God out of society. The left wing has, and they're embracing this perversion. And you know, sadly, and I'll say this, the gay community, I think as a whole, it's a minority community. I think they're put out by this. I think it disgusts them overall. And I think the majority of individuals who are gay, they just want to live their lives. And this brings the wrong light to the gay community. And it's sickening that they share that, you know, that T is part of the LGBT community. So, you know, something has to be done. And this is the wrong message that's sending our kids, but this is what the Marxists want. They want to steal children's innocence, and they're using sexuality to do so, and it's sickening, absolutely sickening.
Well, Well, I tell you, I'm a little less forgiving than you are when it comes to this, because all I hear is silence coming from the gay community.
Exactly.
And they are silent, and they are just one monolithic. They just look out for their – they don't care how disgusting they are. I mean, we, as straight people, we may say, oh, that the majority of the gays, they don't like this cross-dressing, child-grooming business, but who does? And if anybody's going to speak out against it, it's got to be the gay community, but they are silent. Where is Bud Light? Bud Light should be speaking out against it and start
right.
sponsoring these events. But no, they still continue to sponsor these events, and it disgusts me.
Well, you know, let me clarify something, and maybe it's
clarify? Sorry?
Yeah, clarify something here. The people out there who listen to and watch Newsmax, you'll know that there are some it's been longer than that since this whole issue has been forced and thrust upon us in the mainstream. There are members of the media who are gay who are speaking out against this. And of course, the problem is it just goes to show who controls the media. The DNC, the Democrat National Committee, controls the mainstream media and the so-called mainstream media. And that's ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, NPR, PBS. They will never allow, okay, the individuals that appear on Newsmax who are speaking out against this, they will never allow their opinion to be mainstream, to be heard in the mainstream arena. Why? Because the agenda is very simple. It is to destroy the U.S., the social fabric of America's society. And they're incorporating this Marxist radicalism. And, it's what's really sad is that the people that are speaking out, and if you'll listen to Newsmax, you'll hear the individuals are speaking out and they're sickened by it. And sadly, they do not get a platform on the mainstream media. So, and I apologize for that because I'm looking through it myopically. Because the focus, I don't watch MSNBC, I don't watch CNN, although I read many of the transcripts to see what they're coming from. Obviously, they will never allow announcers or pundits to appear on their shows to speak against the gay community, because the agenda by the left wing is to destroy the very fabric of America's society. So.
Great. So we have a bunch of conservative gays speaking out, and they're getting silenced.
Well, are you surprised by that? Are you surprised that conservatives are getting? Yeah, of course not. It's exactly what the left wing wants. They want to demonize, and they want to portray this as mainstream. And in the process, what's happened? Bud Light has lost $23 billion of market share as a result of thrusting this perversion upon America. Target has lost over $12 billion for the same exact reason. And in the meantime, you've got bumbling Biden and the left-wing radicals trying to portray this as a mainstream issue, when in fact, the silent majority, the majority of Americans are sickened and they're disgusted by this crap that's going on. And so while the silent majority are speaking out, okay, there is no platform other than maybe a Newsmax and an OAN and, of course, conservatives on Twitter. Right?
Yeah, and we're speaking to the choir pretty much. We don't have a megaphone.
No, I don't. I use a microphone. I don't know what you use, but no. I know what it was in sports. You brought it up. The NHL, kudos to the NHL and Gary Bettman. They are stopping with this, with these specialty jerseys, specialty nights, as a result of several NHL players refusing to wear the special pride jerseys and not participate. The NHL has decided this coming season it will not happen, and they're going to ban all specialty causes. You know what? In some ways, I think it's great. And the other ways, it's really sad, though, because, you know, cancer has no race, creed, or color. And, you know, for organizations like the NHL to bring awareness to cancer, to breast cancer, you know, to all types of cancer that affect families. And, of course, people at times will just, you know, I've had relatives die from cancer. Including a grandfather from lung cancer. So, you know, with that regard, if it's cancer awareness, I get it. And I think it's a great cause to pay homage to. But sadly, as a result of this radicalism on the left wing, the NHL took a stand, and they're the first professional sports to stop this. And congratulations to Gary Bettman and the NHL for doing so. Enough's enough. Enough is enough.
Yeah. And all it takes is a few brave people to stand up to this, because you have the old Aesop fable about the king who wore no clothes and nobody would say anything because everybody in the town was afraid of the king. They did not want to be the bearer of news and risk losing their lives. And then there was one small child who said, "The king has no clothes." And then the whole story changed from there, and the king was embarrassed, and all because of the mouth of one person speaking the truth. So kudos to the NHL.
When you're talking about out of the mouths of babes, while you were gone, I don't know if you heard this, but I tell you, I need a good laugh today. Okay, so while you were gone, there was a section of I-95 bridge in Philadelphia area that collapsed after being struck at the bottom, okay, and it knocked out a huge section of 95. So last weekend, Bumbling Biden was shuffling his way to Philadelphia, and there was a press conference, and he was being introduced John Fetterman. And remember now, a bridge collapsed, okay? So while you were gone, here was John Fetterman introducing Joe Biden.
And now I'm standing next to the president again, next to a collapsed bridge here. And he is here to commit to work with the governor and the delegation to make sure that we get this fixed quick, fast. As well, too. This is a president that is committed to infrastructure.
In the what the hell did you say?
Yeah, and then on top of that, the jewel, kind of a.
The hell is he talking about?
Law of the inflation.
In the what?
Bill that is going to make sure that there's going to be bridges all across like this, all across America getting rebuilt.
I mean, your brain cells have suffered a little bit. You're going to have moments like this.
Moments. So we have a new delegation in Washington, D.C. that went to Philadelphia for a fracture. This is what you missed. I mean, you know, and the funny part of this whole thing, okay, it's a sad part of it, because this is one Democrat senator, okay, and there's another Democrat senator, Senator Dianne Feinstein, who is also out of it and who's having serious medical issues. She has a serious loss of memory. So I'd like to know, how is it that Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is allowing yet another unfit senator to engage in governmental affairs, to vote on policy issues, and doesn't have the mental ability to do so? I mean, what kind of fracture do they have in the United States Senate? I mean, do they have a delegation to help these people? But, you know, there was several articles, and I think one was in Gateway Pundit last week, that showed that Nancy Pelosi's daughter is now one of Dianne Feinstein's senior aides in helping Feinstein run her Senate seat. Now, where's the conflict of interest on this? Is the Senate mafia an incestuous organization? I mean, is the U.S. Senate really working for the American people? And I want to know, is the Democrat Party really working for the people of California and the American people? And is there any accountability whatsoever in Washington, D.C. any longer? And you know something else? It wasn't a right-wing newspaper that was breaking the story about Dianne Feinstein's health. It was the L.A. Times. The report was broken by the L.A. Times basically saying that Feinstein is now nothing more than a puppet. No new reports are breaking that her staff is actually running her, telling her when and how to vote. Feinstein's chief of staff, James Sauls, downplayed the staff's involvement in Feinstein's voting habits. And, of course, Feinstein's chief of staff downplayed her health. He's living large. He's running the show because his boss is mentally unfit. And James Sauls stated, all senators rely heavily on staff to do the job, particularly a senator who represents 40 million people. Except, while staff advise her, she ultimately is the one who makes the decision about how to best take action for the people of California. The issue is, Dianne Feinstein can't take action. She can't make a decision. She has no idea where she's at. Her chief of staff and Pelosi's daughter are the decision makers for her. Now, Californians didn't elect James Sauls, nor did they elect Nancy Pelosi. And you see, the continued corruption by the Washington, D.C., in Washington, D.C., by the Senate mafia, there's no limits to it. When Senator Dianne Feinstein returned to the Senate, it was horrifying. The woman was obviously in no shape to return to the Senate. Dems wanted her back, however, so they could push through judiciary appointments. So she returned. Dems wanted her to return. And you see, it's no longer about what's good for America. It's all about the political system in Washington, D.C., the ruling system, and they're ruining the United States of America. I'm sorry, they're running government under their terms, not how we the people would like it. We the people need to sit down and simply shut up and oblige the Washington, D.C. Senate and the Senate Don Schumer, Don Schumer, he dictates the actions. So you got Fetterman, who can't complete sentences, you know, fracture and delegation. And you have Dianne Feinstein, who has the inability to perform her duties as a United States senator. And she's put on life support by James Sauls, her chief of staff, and Nancy Pelosi's daughter.
Well, you got to hand it to the Democrats. They sure stay together, hang together, and protect each other till the bitter end, unlike our GOP on the other side of the aisle.
Yeah, right. You're exactly right, Al. They make no mention of Dianne Feinstein's health. They don't talk about Fetterman. It doesn't matter. They'll just prop him up and they'll use him. And it doesn't matter how poorly he looks in public, how poorly he acts. Okay, just like Biden, it doesn't matter. Biden is doing exactly what he was installed to do, so it really doesn't matter. And you know what? It's actually, and I had this discussion with Holzer. The issue is, we then focus on this John Stutterman and his mental inabilities, Joe Biden and his mental inabilities, and it's a perfect distraction. Anytime you turn around, there's a distraction coming up. And you know what? We then focus on what's right. And that's the distraction, knowing that conservatives will want to act and we know what's right. At least we believe what's right. It should be done in a certain manner, and there should be some ethics. There should be some morals. There should be some character in the U.S. Senate, and there is none of that. But you know what? They don't care. They just don't care. Those that are indentured to the in the United States Senate, the United States House, they don't care. It's all about how they enrich themselves and how they can do it in a manner that doesn't really matter what we the people think. And distractions is what I themed today's show about. And over the weekend on Saturday, Usama Dakduk, who does the Straight Way of Grace ministry on Saturday evenings at 10 o'clock right here on Blog Talk Radio, revealing the truth about Islam. His guest, Christy, was out. So his guest was Paul Sutliff. And Dr. Paul was on with Usama. And during their dialogue, they were talking about the deceptions of Islam. And the deceptions by it, we're talking about abrogation and the Quran and deceit and deceive the infidel. And during that conversation, it dawned on me, it's like, you know, there's a distraction since we started Global Patriot Radio, since you came up with the idea of taking this out to the airwaves and calling out the Muslim Brotherhood and their intentions of and deceiving the infidel. When Usama said it on Saturday, and it was like, wait a minute, hold on a second. That actually does apply in the case of Joe Biden. And then the conversation with Holger with regards to we get worked up with Biden and his mental inabilities, his mental incapabilities, his constant and chronic lying and falling, tripping up stairs and falling off of his bike and tripping over, you know, a Republican sandbag, tripping over his tongue. The wicked man offers a distraction, and the distraction is, one was to dismantle everything that Trump put in place, that especially that was working, but the distraction is a global basis. And once again, the syndicate has engaged in a calculated distraction. And why? Well, it's turning out that the Hunter Biden laptop is real. It is for real. And it turns out that the left wing has been lying. The U.S. media has been suppressing information in order to protect Joe Biden and the Biden crime family. And why? Well, because the syndicate, whether that it's a global mafia syndicate or the syndicate in Washington, D.C., has different ideas than a constitutional republic. And they needed somebody that we could fixate on for their personal flaws, while the dismantling of our constitutional republic takes effect. And once again, the syndicate is engaged in a calculated distraction, because the text messages from Hunter Biden that surfaced this past week, Thursday, I believe it was, are showing and telling us that Joe Biden was indeed involved in Hunter Biden's business dealings. So imagine Joe Biden lied. Imagine Joe Biden, the wicked man, walking with a lying tongue. As news continued to surface, which shows Vice President Joe Biden was deeply involved in his son's overseas businesses with Communist China and Ukraine, oh, and by the way, and Romania, a distraction this weekend was desperately needed. And when Usama said it, and Paul and Usama were discussing about the deceit of Islam and why Islamic women in America don't wear heat jobs, and Rashida Tlaib wears all kinds of makeup, which is haram in Islam because the Quran actually tells women how they are to give their appearance, what they if they can pluck their eyebrows, he was saying. Okay. Well, the same is going on right now by the D.C. institution, by the syndicate in D.C. And as news was surfacing that a Vice President Joe Biden was indeed deeply involved with Hunter Biden's overseas business activities, a distraction was needed. And what type of distraction could possibly take the Biden crime family activities off front page after one journalist, James Rosen, started a shitstorm reading a text message from a WhatsApp text at White House spokesman John Kirby? And questions, of course, then surfaced were asking to Karine Jean-Pierre. And John Kirby got so flushed that he had to walk off the stage. He had to walk away from the podium. And he turned his back on America, as Joe Biden does, because they don't want to answer these questions. KJP did the same thing. She was getting very upset. Jean-Pierre was getting quite upset with the media. How dare you go off script? How dare you start asking about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and stating the WhatsApp text are accurate? The White House press secretaries and spokesmen simply will not answer any questions about the corruption of Joe Biden and his crime family. And it turns out the Biden crime family bribery and pay-as-you-go underhanded engagements is far worse than Watergate ever was. And if you have time, reread about the Watergate, the summary of the Watergate, and how there was a document that showed Richard Nixon, President Nixon, knew about the break-in at the DNC headquarters. This pales in comparison to what President Nixon did, what President Nixon said. We're talking about $17 million minimum. We're talking about 9 Biden family members, including Joe Biden. And now Joe Biden, who has lied, 51 national security advisors lied to tamper with an election. It's turning out that Hunter Biden's laptop is providing even more information, which the FBI, the DOJ, is suppressing. So this operation by the Washington, D.C. government mafia, the syndicate, La Cosa establishment, how can the syndicate take Joe Biden's treason off the front page? How do we continue to provide a cover-up for Joe Biden and his crime family? What better country? Russia, 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 Al. The narrative, of course, all weekend was there was an attempted coup to unseat the unpopular President Putin. An attempt to unseat the unpopular President Putin. Now, this is the same President Putin who met with Communist China's President Xi, and they have a relationship now. They're forging ahead with their plans. And I'm saying it's a great distraction because I'm going to refer you to an article in the Conservative Treehouse. And the article in the Conservative Treehouse was absolutely brilliant, Al. And not only is the article brilliant, but it also backs it up because the writer of the article is from St. Petersburg, Russia, the old former Leningrad. And he knows of this Wagner leader, Yevgeny Prigozhin, who was basically a caterer, was in jail, arrested for a heist and federally imprisoned for 9 years while the Soviet Union collapsed. When he exited prison, Russia was different. And with St. Pete now being a tourist destination, he joined the capitalist opportunity with a street food vending business. Prigozhin is hard as nails, a snark and snarky as hell, and very tricky. He is one of the apex gremlins and very much still connected to the streets, very connected. He was never connected to the towers of Russian politics as the West portrays. Prigozhin doesn't have the pedigree nor the disposition for political power. Let me put it this way. No one knows how to play gremlin mind games against the West better than Yevgeny Prigozhin. He's a little bit like a less refined Oleg Deripaska and much scruffier. Also remember, in 2018, Prigozhin was one of 13 Russians indicted by Andrew Weissman and Rod Rosenstein for interfering with the American election through the Internet Research Agency. And the writer inserts LOL, eyes rolling. Here's where it gets interesting, and don't share this. It's for CTH audience only. Back in April of this year, a blogger in St. Pete named Vladen Tartarsky, real name Maxim Foman, was killed by a bomb disguised as a gift for his work reporting on behalf of free people in Russia. The bomb was inside a bust of Tartarsky given to him shortly before he was given a speech in a cafe. A 26-year-old woman named Darya Trepova gave him the gift, and she was arrested and disappeared. Speculation, strong speculation, was that the cafe bomb was a CIA operation because Tartarsky was considered an enemy of Ukraine. His death was a hit to the pro-Russia morale inside the region. The target, Vladen Tartarsky, and the head of the Wagner mercenary military units, Yevgeny Prigozhin, were good friends. So the individual that quite possibly the CIA assassinated, Tartarsky, was a good friend of Prigozhin. Prigozhin wanted to avenge Tatarsky's death and remove any limits on rules of war engagement in Ukraine. Prigozhin was willing to create massive civilian casualties in his revenge operation against Ukraine military, lots of Nazis, and CIA operatives that work with them. Russian President Vladimir Putin said no and told and warned his generals and Russian regular military officers that they were to inform Wagner that widespread collateral damage and revenge was not okay. Prigozhin was angry, very angry about this. He wanted blood. However, Prigozhin is also a snarky gremlin. And don't forget this. So any operations that could injure or trick the CIA would be a good thing. Thus came the warning to me to ignore the front face of the Western world would present in a few days. Prigozhin was and is angry and frustrated with Vladimir Putin. Prigozhin was and is angry at the CIA. Was Prigozhin and Wagner operation an internal false flag intended to give the illusion of something, rebellion, while actually taking advantage of the stupidity of the West, the CIA? I just give you Prigozhin's motive that almost no one knows about, and let's keep it between us. And then it shows a picture of the Wagner boys executing their Saturday reign of terror, and they were all sitting in a cafe, just sitting in a cafe as street urchins. And of course, now you've got Prigozhin, who is supposedly exiled to Belarus. Oh, and by the way, CIA money. So what a great distraction this provided this weekend, just as James Rosen. Oh, and by the way, just as Peter Schweitzer stated, okay, on Maria Bartiromo's show, and Peter Schweitzer actually provided another revelation, and that revelation was that Joe Biden was given a global phone, which records now on the Hunter Biden laptop, the one that the 51 what would you call them, intelligence operatives had stated that was false. It turns out that the Hunter Biden laptop shows that Hunter Biden's companies were paying $300 a month for this AT&T phone. And now the DOJ, led by the Capo regime's front man, Merrick Garland, has suppressed any type of release of information of this laptop and of these phone records from this AT&T phone that was a global phone that apparently, as Peter Schweitzer put it on Maria Bartiromo's show, that Joe Biden was using to call his son. So he didn't use a personal phone. He didn't use a government phone. He was using a phone that was supplied by Hunter Biden and his company at $300 a month. Yep. And you wonder why the story over the weekend was Russia, Russia, Russia. I'm not buying it for a second, Al.
Well, sounds more like an insurrection than what we had January 6th, that's for sure. Because as the events rapidly escalated Friday, when the former Putin confidant released a video calling for the ouster of the top defense official while denying a coup attempt against Putin. But by Saturday morning, Wagner, a private military force numbering around 25,000, captured the southern city of Rostov and began to march toward Moscow. However, within hours, Prigozhin announced he would turn his troops around following a Belarus brokered deal. Prigozhin departed to Belarus while the Kremlin dropped charges of treason and offered amnesty to Wagner troops. And the deal ended what observers had called the biggest threat to Putin since he assumed power in 2000. But it sounds to me, from what you were saying, that the CIA was in the middle of all this and trying to overthrow Putin.
the
or at least had their fingers in it.
There you go. They had their fingers in it. And they compensate. And according to the conservative treehouse, Prigozhin has been compensated for this stage. And everything's supposed to be okay now. Now, of course, if Prigozhin then dies suddenly from, I don't know, radiation poisoning or should wake up dead one day over the next couple of weeks, then you know that, you know, Putin is playing for real. But if you're going to intertwine the 25,000 Wagner troops inside of the Russian army, I'm sure you don't want to, you know, out or off the leader of Wagner, who apparently has got several million dollars now as a result of this stage. And did what he was supposed to do. I just find it really suspect. And Margaret Brennan was interviewing Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State. And I'll tell you, there's a couple of questions that she asked, and which also leads me to believe of a distraction. Margaret Brennan asked, is the U.S. ready for further unrest in Russia and the scenario that Vladimir Putin does not remain in power? Okay, so obviously you expect the Secretary of State to be measured in his response. But you see, this is the hysteria that the DNC-controlled media wants to create. Why? It's to take the bribery issues, the sordid Biden global issues of selling the United States of America out off the table. And now you're talking about unrest in Russia, a Russian coup. Okay. And so Blinken says, Margaret, this is an unfolding story. I think we're in the midst of a moving picture. And of course he gives the typical, you know, Kamala Harris word salad answer and says nothing. Okay. You know, in context, 60 months ago, Russian forces were on the doorstep of Kiev and Ukraine and thinking they'd take the city in a matter of days, thinking it would erase Ukraine from the map and independent, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So now Margaret asks another question. But Is the U.S. prepared for potential of the fall of the Putin government? And is their nuclear stockpile the largest in the world secure? Okay. And this is what really led me to believe that this whole story is a distraction. And the reason I say that, let me read you what Secretary Blinken says. He says, we always prepare for every contingency in the terms of what happens in Russia. It's an internal matter for the Russians to figure out. Okay. Of course, we're dealing with a major power, especially a major power that has nuclear weapons. That's something that's of concern, something we're very focused on. And we haven't seen any changes in Russia's nuclear posture. There hasn't been any change in ours, but it's something we're going to watch very, very carefully. Okay, you say, oh, well, that's really prudent, you know. And, of course, if you throw out the notion of a coup and if you throw out unseating Vladimir Putin, okay, now you bring up nuclear weapons. And, again, what better way to double down to take the Biden family and the Biden family criminality off the front page? You insert nuclear. Now, you have to further instill fear into the hearts of the Americans, and you have to change their focus. You got to take their focus away from the ongoings of Joe Biden and the Biden crime family, and you bring up nuclear weapons and nuclear stockpiles. Now, it is a concern should a coup occur, and certainly we're not that naive to think not. But think about this, and this is where it's time to change our thinking. It's time to think outside the box, because there's no such things as coincidences any longer. And actually, I'm tired of being played, and I'm tired of this entire Washington, D.C. syndicate, this global mafia that's out there, okay, who are trying to undo our great country. And they're using chimpanzees like Joe Biden in order to do that. And Biden's handlers are pretty much the same. They are anti-Americans. They're anti-constitutionalists. And now they're bringing up nuclear weapons in order to scare the American people. But you think about this. If Russia launches, I don't care who turns out to be prime minister or president of Russia, even if they unseat Putin. If they unleash their nuclear stockpile, what does the United States do? We unleash ours. For all intents and purposes, the world comes to an end. Now, there are some despots out there, certainly. But I, for one, don't think for a minute that Russia is going to unleash their nuclear stockpile on the United States. Because while we get the message that those nuclear bombs and missiles have been launched, there's no stopping them. We don't have a shield. There's no golden dome to stop them. So what is our response as the United States? We unleash all of ours. And perhaps Communist China does the same thing, because some of those bombs, I'm sure, will hit off course and go into Asia. And of course, with parts of Russia being in Asia, it'll hit China. And the world as we know it, and we'll have true global warming. I mean, we'll have an environmental crisis. We'll have a climate crisis. And John Kerry will be very happy that a climate crisis occurred under, you know, in his lifetime, which would be very short-lived. And there'll be a few survivors of the nuclear holocaust. So, no, I don't believe it for a second, but I do believe that there's manipulation by the media. And I do believe that the DNC is looking for ways to manipulate the American people into believing that there's a crisis. Why? To take the Biden crime family off the front page. James Rosen wasn't supposed to ask those questions. It's a reason why Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, and his administration went after James Rosen personally. They weaponized the IRS to go after James Rosen and his family. A journalist. The executive branch of government violated and abridged James Rosen's freedom of speech and freedom of the press. And this regime thinks that they control the press. And of course, with the DNC's help, they do control the press to a certain point. But now those with a conscience in the press are starting to ask questions, because it's no more that this laptop is a joke. It's no more that this laptop was a Russian plant. It turns out that the laptop is real. And you know what? When two whistleblowers come out and they're summarily rejected by the DNC media, and your DNC media is trying to divert your eyes and your attention away from the sordid activities of Joe Biden and the Biden crime family, they must take some drastic actions. They must take a shiny object and distract you away. Well, there's only one James Rosen. There's only one Peter Ducey. And certainly the other 97% of the media believe in the left-wing ideology, and they'll cover for any other type of left-wing regime. Well, maybe their intelligence now is starting to bother them. They're starting to question what's real, and rightly so. And it's just amazing the level in which this story, the Biden sordid story, has metastasized since Wednesday of last week. It's amazing how quickly a distraction was concocted. And Maria Bartiromo seems to be the only mainstream type news individual who's bringing out components of what was on that laptop, and bringing out journalists who have seen the information firsthand, including Peter Schweitzer, who even testified concerning this. How is it now, since October of 2020, we haven't heard about a telephone, a global phone, which Hunter is paying $300 a month that his father was using, that was untraceable, so that Joe Biden could use it anywhere, as vice president, by the way, anywhere in the world? It took the House Oversight Committee, what, since January of this year, to come up with this information? I'm surprised that Maria Bartiromo isn't taken off of Fox News, especially with the last two revelations that have come out by Peter Schweitzer on the Fox News channel, or the Fox Financial Channel, Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo. It's truly incredible what's happened, Al, over these last 5 days, 6 days, and the revelations that have come out. And it's turning out that the 51 intelligence officers, intellects, okay, the intelligence people, it turns out that they've simply lied, these intelligent operatives, including Clapper, who tried to spin a couple of months ago. He tried to spin the letter and said, oh, well, that's not what I said. They took that out of context. Bullshit. You had an opportunity. As Maria Bartiromo and Peter Schweitzer said, you had an opportunity. You were appearing on MSNBC, on CNN, and you were giving interviews during that time, and you were talking about this letter by 51 former intelligence operatives, okay, who actually aided and abetted in tampering with the 2020 elections, and you never said that your opinion, your comments were taken out of context. Only now that it's gaining traction, suddenly you want to be vindicated. You don't want to be part of that 51. Well, you can't have it both ways, James Clapper. You're a liar. You're a thief. You're a con man. You're a crook. I'll tell you, Al, I'm not buying this whole thing with Russia and the timing of it. I told Holger, I said, there's going to be a distraction. And I honestly, I thought they would probably bring up more charges against President Trump as a means of distracting. But when this hit, it was like, you know, isn't it ironic? And then I read the story in the Conservative Treehouse, and there were three articles in there on Saturday and Sunday. And it's like, son of a gun, we're being played by these people, by the Washington, D.C. syndicate. We're being played in order to distract us from how Vice President Joe Biden had compromised national security. And also on that laptop, by the way, on the Hunter Biden laptop, Hunter Biden was using documents, at least two documents he found from his father, either as Senator Joe Biden or Vice President Joe Biden, classified documents that he was sharing with communist Chinese people, operatives. And we're supposed to believe that Watergate was really bad. This is worse than Watergate. This is turning out that a U.S. senator, then a vice president, and now a president has committed treason. I don't care how feeble that he appears. I'm not going to focus anymore on this guy tripping over right-wing sandbags or falling up the steps of Air Force One. I don't care. He's a dishonest man. He's a corrupt individual who engaged in bribery and pay for play. And the DNC and the Democrat Party and the Uniparty are engaged in a huge cover-up at the expense of the American people, at the expense of our constitutional republic. Not to mention Attorney General Merrick Garland, who is also front and center, has been caught in a lie, who is also engaged in covering up for Joe Biden. And when two whistleblowers come forth to contradict the claims of Attorney General Merrick Garland, unsolicited, by the way, two of them unsolicited, two named, okay, unlike Adam Schiff and Eric Swalwell, who manufactured stories against President Trump, there are now two named individuals, whistleblowers, who have come forth. And they came forth this past week after Merrick Garland made the phony claim, lied to the press. Oh, and guess what? There's a coup in Russia. Do you hear any more about Merrick Garland other than today with Speaker McCarthy talking about the possibility of impeaching Merrick Garland? Have you heard anything else over the weekend? Were they talking about it? No, they weren't talking about it, folks. Al, the cover-up stinks in Washington, D.C. And connecting the dots between Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and the communist Chinese and the Russians and Ukrainians to see how much money has been filtered through. And yes, I say Russians because the mayor of Moscow's wife gave Hunter Biden $3 million. Now, nothing to see here, folks. Either that or he's selling her cocaine or he's a good lay or something.
Buys a lot of influence at $3 million.
It sure does.
It's all about the influence. But at least they can do an insurrection right. We're not good at that, us Republicans, even though they're doing jail time. We do horrible insurrections.
Well, who's that? The left wing does good insurrections? Is that what you're saying?
Well, they're better. We conservatives do horrible insurrections. January 6th was a joke. What's happening now with Russia, that is a failed coup with CIA fingerprints all over it. Merrick Garland is nowhere to be found. And the Republicans should be filing impeachment charges against Merrick Garland as we speak.
Well, they're talking about it. They're throwing that trial balloon up. So they're going to see how many days if they can outlast a Chinese spy balloon and throw up their own balloon for 12 days and have it cross the country and see how it lands. If in fact, you know, it's a good thing to do that. We can talk about it. Look, we're tough. We're tough. We can do that.
I'm sick of all the talk. Talk. No more talking. Mm-hmm. I just want action. I'm so tired of my Republican legislators who we hired to represent us, and all they do is talk.
Well, it's part of the uniparty system, isn't it? I mean, the uniparty system, they're all slapping each other on the back after they leave the House floor and, you know, hey, look, how did you do today, John? Well, you know, Joe, how was that feigned outrage that I had on I was really good. You can use a little more inflections when you're talking about us Democrats. You know, what I'll do is I'll accuse you Republicans of something and then we can go ahead I'll get the CNN news to cover it. So this way it'll appear legitimate. I could see it happening. I mean, I don't know how you can't be outraged, okay, as a member of the news media when you find out that Henry Zhao, okay, a communist Chinese player, sends $5 million to the Bidens. How? And Zhao is the head of Harvest Investments with direct ties to the communist Chinese government. Now, I don't care what your party affiliation is. If you say that you love the United States of America, if you say that you believe in the rule of law, why aren't you asking questions? This came out October of 2020. And there was such a venom, okay, that was created, that the theatrics of despising Donald Trump. And it was imperative that you install this feckless fraud, Joe Biden, because he wasn't Donald Trump. He won't send out mean tweets. Well, he won't send out any tweets. He has his handlers do that. And his handlers send out tweets that are oblivious to reality and what's happening. But it's a coordinated effort. The one thing that the Democrat Party does is that they do it together. They do it well. Hakeem Jeffries sends out a tweet today and it says something like, well, with inflation down, it's like, really? Seriously? Inflation is down? You know, go back 888 days and tell us how inflation is down. We're paying 100% more for gasoline. We're paying 67% more for natural gas. We're paying 50% more for groceries. Have you been to the grocery store lately? Huh? Have you been to the grocery store? Now you've got John Kerry, who's part of the Biden-Harris regime, the climate con man, is out there threatening U.S. farmers, the small farmers. If you don't stop farming because you are contributing to a climate crisis, the government has the right to confiscate your farms. This is what an American is saying to American farmers. Go fuck yourself, John Kerry. That's what I'd say. And if I'm a farmer in the United States, I'm ramping up my farming activities. This climate con is nothing but a con game by elitists, by the syndicate, by the global mafia who's trying to control the not only the world but the American people. You're telling American farmers that they can't farm because of a climate crisis? Is your goal to starve the American people? Seriously, is your goal to starve the American people? And if you don't like what farmers are doing in the United States under the climate con man, who's a climate czar, you're going to confiscate their farms? While the president of the United States has been engaged in sordid activities with the communist Chinese, a sworn enemy, you've got the Biden crime family taking $5 million from a communist Chinese company with direct ties to the communist Chinese government, and no one's asking a question? And then it turns out the 51 intelligence operatives who signed this supposed letter were simply tampering with the 2020 elections. And some of them now want to divorce themselves from that letter. Well, it's not what I said. Bull, you had an opportunity. You doubled down on it on all these left-wing shows. You allowed the ABCs and NBCs to pat you on the back, and you gloated about it. Why? Because to defeat Trump, or to give the illusion that he was defeated. So we have a syndicate in Washington, D.C. Is the DOJ part of that mafia? It certainly looks that way, doesn't it? When you have a corrupt attorney general in Merrick Garland who's helping to cover up crimes committed by a sitting president while he was vice president and while he was a U.S. senator. And his crackhead son, his drug son, had access to those classified documents. Classified documents now that they are excoriating President Trump about, that were in a locked safe under Secret Service protection. We can't talk about that. No, I mean, he took classified documents. That's a espionage act, really? What do you call a vice president, a senator who steals documents and has it in 7 different locations and whose son is using 2 of those documents and giving them to our enemies? What do you call that?
Traitor.
Ah, Traitor Joe. Right. Wow. And we're supposed to believe.
The country should be outraged. Yeah.
Well, we are supposed to be outraged, but you know what? When something's created to avert your attention away from what's happening, you know, when the left wing, when the Uniparty wanted to discredit President Trump, they made sure to do it on a Friday, and they carried that news, the lies that they created, the manufactured news, through the weekend, so that all of these Sunday talk shows could then start talking about, you know, an anonymous source, you know, a source close to the president, you know. No, there was never those. It was fabricated. It was all part of the Jerry Nadler 6-page manifesto. Now, fast forward to today, and we have 2 whistleblowers who contradict a meeting that occurred, which Attorney General Merrick Garland lied about. He lied it directly to the media. And do you think that these new readers would get a little bit upset the fact that the Attorney General of the United States lied to them, not once, not twice, 3 times, right to their faces? And we're now supposed to believe that there is an attempted coup, that Russia is unsettled, and what about our nuclear stockpiles? That's all hogwash. I'm not buying it for a second, Al.
So how do you think it's going to play out at the end?
How do I think it's going to play out? I think, you know, knowing how the syndicate works, you know, it's, think about it. This is like the mafia, okay? Paul Castellano was head of the Gambino crime family. You never heard anything from Paul Castellano. And then in comes John Gotti. John Gotti, you know, Gotti has Castellano whacked, him and Tommy Bilotti at the Sparks Steakhouse. And a flamboyant individual starts bringing attention to the Gambino crime family. And, you know, the Dons don't like that. They don't like that attention. And what was supposed to be disarming was bringing in brain dead Biden and have you focus on his maladies. Have you focus on his missteps and lies and misinformation. In the meantime, you have his handlers doing the work of dismantling free speech, dismantling the Second Amendment, creating chaos, energy chaos, you know. And then, of course, you have all of the henchmen, the capos, you know, stepping back and saying, you know, inflation's down. So not today, you know, today inflation is down some. It's down some. Oh, unfortunately, what's happening for Joe Biden, his son is bringing attention unanticipated attention, because you see, when those 51 intelligence operatives came out with their phony report that stated that the laptop was just Russian disinformation, it was supposed to end there. And there are still some individuals who don't buy that, like, I don't know, like Peter Schweitzer, Maria Bartiromo. There are some at Fox News that didn't buy it. There's many at Newsmax that didn't buy it. And the story stayed alive. And now that Biden has completed his mission, and that was to undo everything Trump did, Biden is now expendable. And now you've got Governor Gavin Newsom said it's 100% he's not going to run for president in 2024. That also told me, hold on, folks, because something's about to change. And then, of course, you have Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's gaining some traction. He was set to only have 10%, and now he's pulling around 20. He goes on Joe Rogan's show, and he's starting to turn heads. People are starting to wake up, and Joe continues to lie. And I think it's having an impact. And I think that in the end, Biden will have to retire. Some deal will be brokered. You go away. Unfortunately, word salad Harris would then be elevated to president. Does she then bring in Gavin Newsom? Or do they not bring anyone in as vice president, which makes her expendable in the 2024 elections, which then works well for both Robert F. Kennedy and Gavin Newsom. And you could actually see a Gavin Newsom, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. ticket, by the way. That wouldn't be out of the realm, because it's all about power in the end. How do you see this playing out?
I have no clue. I think it's going to just disappear from the news, and that'll be the end of it. Republicans won't do anything. If they do, it'll be inconsequential and poorly done. I mean, look at the censure of Schiff. Yeah, look at the censure of Schiff, how that went down. Round one, they screwed up the censure, made it unconstitutional. Round two, they got the censure. And now Schiff is even more popular than ever with Democrats because he got the censure.
So maybe it was a campaign ploy in order to, because he's going to be running for Dianne Feinstein's Senate seat, but so is Barbara, what's her name, Cox? Barbara... I forgot her name, in California. She'll be running for the Senate seat, which Nancy Pelosi was endorsing. Oh, and of course, Nancy Pelosi was commenting on Donald Trump having classified documents, and she made really some damning statements, because I would use her comments to make a case against Joe Biden because of how many different unclassified locations, unsecured locations, Joe Biden kept these classified documents. And she did say something that was very incriminating, I think, to Biden. She said, well, me, you know, as a member of the House, I can't take those documents with me anywhere. I just go in, you know, and I have to leave them there. Well, you know what? You don't want there, Nasty. That goes for Senator Joe Biden. That rule also applies to Vice President Joe Biden, which means that what? He did steal those documents, as you just stated. You made the case for the Department of Justice to bring charges against Joe Biden. Now, of course, it will not happen because of Attorney General Merrick Garland, who is a strict partisan and is put in place to go after conservatives, to go after the political enemy, to utilize and weaponize governmental agencies to attack political opponents. Now, she's on tape. There's tape that states that as a member of the U.S. House, that she did not have the ability to take classified documents. They had to remain where they were, where they were reading them, which means that Joe Biden stole those documents, and he kept them in unsecured locations. Now, that should be the story that every news media picks up, every news outlet picks up, including the propaganda radio station, NPR, National Propaganda Radio. And if you read the summary of Watergate in 1974, okay, you will read that President, then President Nixon, okay, wrote a memo and somehow implicated himself in Watergate, stating that he knew about the break-in, and yet he came, he went on TV and stated that he did not. He told the press he did not. Now, at that time, of course, the media of the was of a similar ilk. They despised conservatives, and they protected and covered up for any left-wing politicians of the Democrat Party. And today, it's the same scenario. And they're very willing and able to run with this Russian story. You know, when two whistleblowers, one is a U.S. attorney, David Weiss, and the other comes from the IRS, Gary Shapley, they come out and they dispute what Attorney General Garland stated. The Washington, D.C. syndicate has to immediately come up with a distraction. And I don't know why that's not headline news. On ABC, CBS, NBC, NPR, PBS. Why the propaganda broadcasting system doesn't make that headline news just goes to show how biased and corrupt the media is in the United States today. These two whistleblowers have given their names, by the way. It wasn't just a person close to the attorney general, or it wasn't a person within the Biden-Harris regime. See, unlike the phony charges that have been leveled against President Trump, these are real individuals who were also in meetings, by the way. U.S. Attorney David Weiss was in a meeting with six people, including Merrick Garland. It's unbelievable what we've learned in the last 5 days that has confirmed, one, the Hunter Biden laptop is real. Two, Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and the Biden crime family are truly a crime family. And there is a massive cover-up underway in Washington, D.C. by the Washington, D.C. syndicate. They're using all of their resources to protect and cover up for Joe Biden and the Biden crime family. And therefore, they have trampled on the rule of law in the United States, the same cliche rule of law that they say they are concerned about. And the corruption doesn't just end at Joe Biden. It doesn't end at Merrick Garland. It includes Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. It includes Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. It includes Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Individuals, Steny Hoyer, former Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. You know, the cover-up in Washington, D.C. by the Washington, D.C. syndicate is so deep, and it's an absolute disgrace that they would trample on our constitutional republic in the manner in which they've done, all in the name of politics, all in the name of partisan politics, all in the name of power. And in the process, they've ceded control of global policies to none other than communist China. And I guess communist China's investment in Joe Biden and the Biden crime family is actually paying great dividends at this point. And we're watching it unfold right before our eyes. You know, the climate con that's going on, the climate crisis that they're calling. Now they've changed it from climate change to climate crisis because they're having this to step up and amp up their effects of attacking the American people and attacking our way of life. You know, all of this stuff with electric cars and car batteries and solar energy. Well, guess who makes 90% of the solar panels in the world? Communist China, not the United States. Communist China. And guess what Joe Biden is pushing in the United States? Green energy, solar, right? He's pushing the electric cars. What's the Biden and the regime and his regime's goal? Is that 50% of all cars sold by 2030 will be electric vehicles. Guess who makes the lithium batteries? China has almost a global monopoly on producing them. China does. Biden fled Afghanistan, rich with minerals and resources. China walks in, not shedding one drop of blood. 4,000 Americans, 2,700 killed in Afghanistan, thousands more American soldiers maimed, injured for life, left their blood in Afghanistan, and Joe Biden simply picked up and fled, and Communist China walks in, and now they control the minerals in Afghanistan. Sure, they pay the Taliban. Taliban doesn't care. All they care about is war. All they care about is killing the infidel. You've got children mining lithium for lithium batteries, mining in Africa, and where's the outrage? And Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and the Biden regime want you to adhere to the global mafia for the climate. Now it's crisis, the climate crisis. Really, there's so much of a climate crisis that Communist China is building 2 coal-fired plants a month. There's a real climate crisis. In the meantime, Joe Biden is having coal-fired plants shut down in the United States, like what happened in Massachusetts, and now the people of Massachusetts are paying between 67 and 100% more for electricity. Hey, but 13 million people went back to work, and that's what we're going to be remembering Joe Biden for, says Amy Klobuchar. We're going to remember that Joe Biden created 13 million jobs, even though it's not really right. It was just basically from the COVID-19 and people went back to work. But we're going to say that Joe Biden created those jobs. And that's what everybody's going to remember, says Amy Klobuchar. Not the fact that we're paying $3.50, $3.80, $5 a gallon for gas. Not the fact that more and more Americans are bleeding their savings dry and have nothing left. Not the fact that if you're looking to retire and you've already lost 60% of your savings as a result of the Biden-Harris commerce, the Biden-Harris economy. We still have supply chain issues that are affecting people all around the United States, including baby formula. And of course, let's not talk about the 7 million plus illegal aliens that are coming across our borders, our open borders, as a result of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris's treasonous activities. You know, that thing called the United States Constitution, Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, United States will protect our states from invasion. Okay, that's what the President of the United States is supposed to adhere to, not the global mafia's vision of destroying the United States. No, how dare we believe in the United States of America? No, this syndicate runs deep, Al. This syndicate is large. And thanks to Communist China's investment in Joe Biden, the Biden crime family, they're pretty much able to compromise the United States and control any mineral activity in the United States. And, of course, now we're having to adhere to this global con, that climate con, that's put forth.
Well, they did 75 statute violations, federal statute violations, are on Hunter Biden's laptop. The DOJ prosecuted him with two misdemeanors, no jail time, including a gun charge that would have put you and me in prison for years, almost a decade. So, yeah, there is a two-tier justice system. As much as Merrick Garland wants to not admit it, we have a two-tier, almost a one-tier justice, we have a one-tier system now. Like you said, the uniparty.
Right.
We are the uniparty.
I got a question for you, because I know, I think you know a little bit on about the laptop. Okay, so now, correct me if I'm wrong here. Hunter Biden is charged with a gun charge, right?
Correct.
All right. So we've been told since October of 2020 that the laptop was Russian disinformation and it's untrue. Okay. Yet, if it wasn't for the laptop, they wouldn't know about the gun charge.
You know, you're right.
Right. So as a result of the laptop, they found that Hunter Biden violated, had a gun charge against him, and they issued a gun charge against him based on the laptop, the information off the laptop that was supposed to be Russian disinformation.
Yeah. Well, plus also the gun was thrown into a dumpster less than 1,000 feet from a school, loaded. And that was because, I guess, Hunter's brother's ex-wife was concerned about Hunter's mental capabilities to harm himself. And that's why she dumped the gun the way that she did. But he also lied on his paperwork in order to get the gun legally, which is a federal offense. But you're right. It all leads back to the laptop one way or another, so...
Oh, and then
you
have the nags. Well, you know what? And then you have the nags to show that this is all a distraction. You have the nags on The View, that Anna Navarro. Oh, this just goes to show that it's a story of a father's love for his son. That's why he committed bribery and pay-as-you-go. No, she didn't say bribery. But, you know, this is it. Hey, this is a sign for the love of your son. The father just loves his son. I mean, they're pulling out all the stops to rationalize an irrational behavior. Oh, my God. So what do you make of this, of the rush of the communist China movement around the world? I don't know if you know, but there's now communist China is in Cuba, just
yeah.
75 miles off the coast of Florida. And they're building, you know, more spy stations. So any takes on that? I mean, isn't that something to be concerned about, wouldn't you say?
Well, President Trump weighed in on that, and he said that if he's elected president, that Putin will get the Russians out of Cuba, or the hammer will drop on him, quote unquote, or the hammer will fall, or something to that effect. That's leadership.
Well, yeah, it is, especially if you're not bought and paid for by the communist Chinese. It makes it a little bit easier to affect change, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's also a reason why the global mafia doesn't want Trump back in the picture. It's very important that, you know, all they're doing to undermine the United States of America and our constitutional republic in dismembering it, you know, in part of dismantling it, they can't afford another 2016, because the pantsuit princess, Hillary Rodham Clinton, was supposed to, you know, take the reins from Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama, and that didn't happen, and that's what provided the global interruption. And I'll tell you, there's more relevance in what Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum stated. You know, the one thing that we do take for granted is that we don't listen to the individuals who have contempt for the United States, or the organizations that have contempt for the United States of America. You know, we don't listen about the explanatory memorandum. When the Muslim Brotherhood stated that their work in America is kind of a grand jihad in eliminating and destroying the Western civilization from within, we don't take that measure, we don't take that warning to heart. When Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, you know, part of that global mafia, makes a statement, the pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. And there are key words that we really do need to fixate on when you have these individuals or these organizations that have an ulterior motive. And the World Economic Forum, you know, they want to be the global leader, and they want to dictate policy, including basically helping to dismantle our constitutional republic. And they found the perfect chimpanzee to do that, and that is Joe Biden, and he's made it very easy. And when you've got Klaus Schwab stating that the pandemic provided a great reset, you have the war in Ukraine between Russia, and what happened with Ukraine? Ukraine was the largest provider of fertilizer to the world, including Africa. African farmers now can't fertilize their land because basically the manufacturer of fertilizer is not coming out of Ukraine any longer. So the African Union thought it best that the farmers start manufacturing fertilizer. The World Economic Forum, led by Klaus Schwab and John Kerry, instructed the African Union not to manufacture fertilizer for farmers to grow crops and feed the African people. And so the United States now, under the Biden-Harris regime, gave the African Union $11 billion, and the EU, European Union, gave $980 million to the African Union to help feed the African people. Now, you and I don't have to be great mathematicians to know that you're giving $12 billion to a country not to manufacture fertilizer. You're putting farmers out of business, and you're not growing crops. Where are you going to get the food supply in order to feed the millions of people in Africa? And now that same motive, that same schematic now is being used, or that trial balloon was launched by John Kerry to warn farmers in the United States to not grow crops because you're contributing to climate change. And you're contributing to a climate crisis. And the government has the ability to confiscate your farms. So when the World Economic Forum, the global mafia, states that the pandemic provides a great reset, we have to see reset from what? Reset that the United States is no longer the world leader? Reset that communist China now is the world's leader, whether it's taking the minerals from around the world, and now being the supplier of solar panels, electric batteries, minerals, and communist China now has everything but oil. And now oil, though, is not being generated or produced from the United States, manufactured, because of this climate crisis from the climate con man, John Kerry, and his stooge, Joe Biden. America is now reliant upon OPEC, Russia, Venezuela, communists, and the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran. Other than that, Al, the World Economic Forum missed something along the way, didn't they?
They're Marxist. They didn't miss a thing.
And Biggs got it right. China is the world's leader in man-made CO2 emissions. You're absolutely right. And I believe India is number two. Isn't that right, Biggs? I would check out the Gatestone Institute. There's a great article by Robert Williams, and I'll put the link in the chat room. And it's the title of it is Biden's Endless Gifts to China. And Robert has several bullet points that he places out. According to John Kerry, the Biden regime climate envoy, whatever the U.S. does unilaterally without similar action by China and other major economies is utterly pointless. Kerry admitted in January 2021 that even if the U.S. were to have zero carbon emissions, almost 90% of all of the planet's global emissions come from outside of the U.S. borders. We could go to zero tomorrow and the problem isn't resolved. What did you say, Big? What did you say? China is the world's leader in man-made CO2. That's right. U.S. is number two. India is number three. 90% of all the planet's global emissions come from outside of the United States. We could go to zero emissions, and the problem is not solved. But what it does do, it makes the United States subservient to the global syndicate. It makes America subservient to communist China. And in the end, it seems like that's the goal. And that is the reason why Joe Biden was installed into the White House. Because, first of all, a President Trump would never stand for this and did not stand for this. And it scared the living crap out of the world syndicate, the global mafia, that Donald Trump made America energy independent. Made America a primary exporter of oil. Nearly bankrupted Russia. The Saudis were on their knees as a result of oil being at a net $0 per barrel. And how quickly did the global mafia have Donald Trump dispatched from the White House? The Biden administration intends to spend over $500 billion on clean energy and climate action. Meanwhile, China last year built more new coal-fired plants than the rest of the world combined, the equivalent of two new coal-fired plants per week. I said per month. I stand corrected. Per week. And the climate con men like John Kerry, like Klaus Schwab, like Bill Gates, Joe Biden, Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama, they are looking for ways to neuter the United States. And at the expense of the American taxpayer, by the way, who more and more people are now late on their mortgage payments. More and more people have less savings. Thank you, Joe Biden. And Hakeem Jeffries has the audacity to send out a tweet. Well, with inflation down somewhat, really? Really? What used to cost $80 at Costco is now costing $170 at Costco. Go to your grocery store. When you were spending, you know, $70 for groceries, you're now spending $130, $140, $150 for groceries. Yeah, tell us how inflation is coming down, Hakeem Jeffries. Another pimp for the Democrat Party. Another con man who's covering up for Joe Biden and the Biden regime. So it's a great article in Gatestone Institute. I just put it in the chat room. Just, it's, you know, it flies under the radar, Al, and there's so much going on, and it's all by design, obviously, to keep the American people off balance. We don't know what's true. We don't know what is true. And then when the truth starts coming out with regards to the to Biden and the Biden crime family, suddenly we have another distraction. Suddenly our eyes are diverted away from what's really happening. Or suddenly we come up with a COVID or some sort of pandemic that renders societies idle societies, you know, and takes away your rights all in the name of a national security, which was done on 9/12/2001. It was done again during the pandemic, and I'm certain that they want to do it once again. And all they're doing is just pissing away taxpayer money.
Speaking of COVID, Dominican professional basketball player Oscar Cabrera Adams died of cardiac arrest at the age of 28. And he, before he died, he said Adams says he agreed to receive the vaccine even though he didn't want to take it because it was a requirement for work. He said, quote, "I got a damn myocarditis for taking a effing vaccine," Cabrera wrote. "I got two doses of Pfizer, and I knew it. Many people warned me." Dead at 28.
Yeah,
but he went on to say, but guess what? He went on to say, but guess what?
Sorry.
"It was compulsory, or I couldn't work. I am an international professional athlete, and I'm playing in Spain. I have no health problem, nothing, not hereditary, no asthma, nothing. I suddenly collapsed to the ground in the middle of a match and almost died. I'm still recovering, and I've had 11 different cardiology tests done, and guess, they find nothing. Dead at 28.
Oh, my God.
Tragic.
And you know what? I give Novak Djokovic a lot of credit. He has been steadfast. He's not getting the jab. He hasn't gotten the jab. And these governments know, they know what the ramifications were of this vaccine. And a video, what was it last week? I don't know if you saw the video. There's a rapper doing a rap fest. He's up on a balcony, and you see him. They got a videotape. You see him, and he's talking into the microphone, and suddenly he just kind of goes quiet, and then he falls backwards. Boom, he was dead. Bang. Another effect of the jab. I mean, they knowingly are attacking the youth, the young people in America who have the ability to procreate, for one. But I tell you, there's no ramifications for this whole thing. None. They simply continue to double down.
Hmm. Yeah, but there's a Rhode Island state senator. He got arrested for keying a Trump supporter's car. did you hear that story?
I did. His car.
Yeah. And then that.
He challenged me.
Key to car. Good Lord, these Marxists. And then the Ocean Gate, the submersible that imploded going down to see the Titanic. Well, the CEO has been getting post-death pilloried in the media because he gave donations to the GOP.
Oh, okay. So that justifies the fact that four people died.
I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Okay, so he gets donations, or he gave donations to the GOP. Okay, so Communist China has given money to Joe Biden and the Biden crime family. Romania has given money to Joe Biden and the Biden crime. The Ukraine has given money to Joe Biden and the Biden crime family. Are we going to apply the same outrage, or is it just a feigned outrage on the part of the left wing because it was a Republican?
Yep. Ding, 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 ding.
you know, and tell us about how Communist China is going around the world. They're establishing, you know, naval bases and military facilities like they're doing in Cuba, 75 miles off the coast of Florida. They've done it in the Pacific Basin. They did it in Africa on both the east and the west coast of Africa. They're in the Indian Ocean. They formed alliances, which you probably heard of while you were away, formed alliances with Saudi Arabia, Iran, Oman, and United Arab Emirates to patrol the Persian Gulf, and they kicked out the United States of America. That's not leadership in the United States. Okay? The United States was a world leader, but the Communist Chinese know that they bought the president of the United States, Joe Biden, and therefore they have a weak individual in the White House. And this is what this is what's being protected by the Washington, D.C. syndicate. This is what's being protected by the global mafia. And it is allowing Communist China to establish its military presence, not just in Communist China, but also in Communist Cuba, form alliances with Communist Russia, form alliances with the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran, form alliances in Central America, in South America. So at what point do we become concerned about this?
Well, you become concerned when the Chinese are sending literally thousands of Chinese over our southern border here into the United States. These are mostly military-aged men as well. They're infiltrating through our southern border. Not a word of concern from the Marxist Democrats at all. In fact, we haven't heard about the border in weeks. Nothing's changed. They're still coming over, all the illegals.
On Saturday's show with Paul and Osama, Paul Sutliff and Osama, Paul mentioned that, Osama did too, that over the northern border, since the beginning of this year, some 460 known or suspected terrorists have crossed over the northern border, crossed in from the northern border. Over 460 known or suspected terrorists have crossed in from Canada. 3,000 miles of border along the northern border of the United States, and 460 terrorists have gotten through or been captured. Sorry. We don't know how many has gotten through.
Multiply that by 5 or 10 if we just catch a handful. That's just by luck. It's a national security risk at our border, and our president is AWOL. In fact, he's so AWOL, he's not even gonna debate any of his Democrat challengers. Yet his way, he won't even debate whatever Republican ends up getting the nod. Hopefully, Trump.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm laughing. Okay, because first of all, it doesn't matter who runs against they put up against Joe Biden. If Joe Biden lasts through this fiasco that's going on, and if anybody has any conscience, you know, on the left side of the aisle, they'll know how sorted, you know, Biden and Biden crime is. But you know what? It doesn't matter who they put up against them, Melanie Lady, or I forgot her name, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., it doesn't matter. The fix is already in. We already know that Joe Biden's going to get the nomination, and I'm sure he will give his acceptance speech virtually in a controlled and a sanitary environment. And whoever the Republicans run against Joe Biden, they are not going to beat him. Dominion voting system, first of all, has $700 million now to perfect what they did for $60 million in 2020. I don't believe for a minute the Washington, D.C. syndicate is going to allow anybody but Joe Biden to resurrect. And if he should make it through to the 2024 elections, he'll get reelected, and then at that point he would step down. They would see to it. They, the syndicate in Washington, D.C. So I think it's great that we're being distracted that, oh, he's not going to debate. There is, it's never, it's not even an issue. We already know the fix is in. And I think that's where we have to change our thinking. After this weekend, my thought process has changed. There's what should have been the focal point of every talk show on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday was the fact that Joe Biden had a phone, a global phone that was paid for by Hunter Biden and his companies. Attorney General Merrick Garland lied and was caught in the lie by two whistleblowers who unrelated, okay, who came out at different times. And then we learned about the $5 million that was paid to each Joe Biden and Hunter Biden for getting the special prosecutor fired in Ukraine. And then the $5 million, the $5 million that we know about from the communist Chinese, the Hunter Biden's companies, and there's a WhatsApp text to verify and validate the corruption of Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. And it goes to show that Joe Biden is nothing but a liar, a habitual liar engaged in bribery and pay for play, who has been installed as the president of the United States, and he's a corrupt man. And the entire system is corrupt. And it turns out, what's the story this weekend? Russia, Russia, Russia. The Washington, D.C. syndicate used Russia to destroy Trump, and they're now using Russia to cover up for a true corrupt individual, Joe Biden and the Biden crime family. Nine members of the Biden family have reaped tens of millions of dollars as a result of their bribery and corruption. And what's the story? Russia, Russia, Russia. Attack Donald Trump for Russia, 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 and protect Joe Biden by using Russia, Russia, Russia. That is my opinion of this state. Is there's no such things as coincidences any longer, and too much is happening in the United States to distract us from the truth and distract us from what's truly happening. It turns out that the Hunter Biden laptop is actually real, and the information on it is damning. And how do you protect the individuals? I mean, it's just a ray of sunshine, isn't it?
I tell you. Well, this headline, I don't know if you saw the article in Headline Wealth, but Hunter Biden deducted payments to prostitutes, sex clubs from his taxes. IRS whistleblowers revealed to Congress that Hunter Biden committed another crime by deducting tens of thousands of dollars in payments he made to a prostitute and a sex club from his taxes. One of the whistleblowers, who is anonymous, worked on the Biden tax probe and told members of the House Ways and Means Committee that Biden improperly deducted those expenses from his 2018 taxes, according to the Washington Free Beacon, which is a great, great source of information. It doesn't end.
It doesn't. Hey, it was just an expense, you know. It was in the course of business that I used a prostitute. I have to deduct the $25,000 somewhere. Oh, my Lord.
Well, for all these years, people could have counted hookers as a business expense. I'm going to tell my wife so she isn't surprised and she sees it. There's a separate line on our Schedule A. Of course, if I resell their services, I'll put it on Schedule C. Someone commented.
Hey, honey, you're going to screw the government after I get screwed. Oh, hey.
Hey.
Hey. Al, welcome back. It's good to have you back. Wednesday night, we've got Hank Jones and Poly Sports on at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Friday, I'll be back with Take No Prisoners and at 12 p.m. Eastern time. Saturday, Osama Dakdak and the beautiful Christy revealing the truth about Islam. Sunday, Eric from Fafiristan. And with the Crossing the Crescent, I think he'll be back this Sunday. Alan, I'll be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern time. Other shows to watch out for is Annie, Southern Sense Talk Radio. She's on afternoons on Blog Talk Radio with a great side author, Chris Bennett, from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. If you want a break and you want an apolitical show, please check out the Simone Nicole Show at 8 p.m. Eastern time on Spreaker.com, Spreaker. .com. Joshua has a great show. I know there's some people in the chat room that enjoy his show. And it's a great great self-help show. His music, a little eclectic, but I'll tell you what, Big kills it, man. When Joshua plays a group or plays a song, man, Big knows the artist and the song. It's fascinating. Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio. Check out Audrey's show on Thursday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Go to audreyrusso.com. Joe Gibson's in the house. Joe is running for a North Carolina House seat. Check out Joe Gibson's show Tuesday evenings, 7 p.m. Eastern time, Restoring Our Republic. And I believe at times we'll have Sarge on there, too. So Sarge is a great constitutionalist. Alan, I'll be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So... I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. Great Blogspot. Runs a Blogspot every day. National and international news on there. Great resource. I read it daily. We had Ducky Northwest, who was in the house. He also said hello to Sue from Mexico. Texas Ron, Golf Dogs, was in the house. Nice to see you, Dogs. He won his match at St. Andrews, 2-1. And Joe Gibson, nice to see you, Joe. Of course, Sue from New Mexico, and you all be safe out there. We'll be talking to Sue after the show, so you can listen to our conversation on tape. So you all be safe out there. Al, any parting shots?
Adios, amigos. We'll see you next week.
Thank you all for joining us. You all be safe out there. Ciao for now.
Yes, it was my way.
That's all, folks.
Bang. Right on the button.
On the number.
On the number. Hey, Sue wanted to talk to us really quick.
Good, good. Throw her on.
She waited until you got back because that she's saving up all this energy to talk to you. She likes you, Al.
Uh-oh. I hope I'm not in trouble.
Hi, Sue. Good evening.
No, welcome
hey,
back.
Hey, Sue. Al. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. But, you know, I've got something to say, and a lot of us have been brainstorming on Twitter. You cannot end the show with a defeatist attitude with, you know, there's no hope, the fix is in, and everything else. You got to strategize. You got to give hope to people. There are so many people right now who are feeling hopeless, and that just exactly what you said, the fix is in. Some of the things that we've come up with, we've got to do mail-in ballots. That way, they will not know how many ballots they have to manufacture to get Biden or whoever over the hump. you see, we've got to start thinking differently, and we have to start getting this message out. What do you think about that, mail-in ballots, going door to door, taking the ballots to people? And this is in areas where it's allowed, where, you know, Democrat areas and everything else. We've got to play their game, and we can't keep doing it the way that we've been doing it. We can't rely on Republicans showing up, you know, on the day and voting in person. And we've always liked to do that and everything. But, you know, in these areas where mail-in ballots, there would be no way they would know how many ballots they'd have to manufacture. This is how Trump defeated Hillary. They had no idea how many votes that Trump would get. I'd like you guys' opinion on that.
Well, first, I want to say I apologize for if it sounded like I had a defeatist attitude, because that wasn't my intent. My intent,
I know,
is
it wasn't, but that's what came across really loud and clear to me.
Good. Thank you for letting me know, because I'm going to clarify that next week, okay? I'm going to clarify it because I think it's important that we titled the show Distraction today. It's time to bring light to what's going on and to change our thinking and our thought process.
Yeah.
And the thought process is that, you know, well, you know, if the Republicans would get off their butt and this and that. And the problem is that it seems like we have a one-party system. And I think if Americans start looking at it, but we don't need to be distracted anymore by Joe Biden falling up the stairs or falling off a bike. That's a distraction.
Right.
The issue are the policies that are being put forth, and it's time to know who the players are, because really they've done a great job. The Washington, D.C., the cabal, the syndicate has done a great job, okay, in hiding who they are. And now it's time we expose them. And you know what? RFK Jr., by him entering the race, has exposed how dishonest the system is. And when a Kennedy, who was part of the institution, the family was part of that institution, and it goes to show how now he is being rejected, there's something wrong. And so we have to take the bull by the horns, and I agree with you 100%, whether it's ballot harvesting ourselves or going out there and having people vote by mail and then taking those ballots and depositing for them. I'm not opposed to it at all.
I'm not saying that we should ballot harvest. I'm just saying that I would hope that the majority of Republicans in areas where you can vote by mail, that they actually vote by mail. Mm-hmm. This time around, they do not go in and vote the day or, you know, in person or anything like that, especially where you have the Dominion machines. We need to do it by mail. All those mail ballots, you know, and this is what they're going to have to do too, are going to be done, you know, counted later. If they don't know how many votes they have to manufacture, it's going to make them a lot harder to do what they want to do. I'm not saying, you know, do anything illegal, ballot harvest or anything else. I'm saying for anywhere where you can vote by mail, and especially if Dominion machines are in use, that you vote by mail. That is one thing that we have to do, definitely. You know, and they don't know if this is a Republican vote or a Democrat vote, you know, when it comes, you know, it's voted by mail, not until they actually open the envelope. Now, I can see them trying to get rid of Republican, you know, votes and everything at that time, but it's going to be a lot harder. And I think this time around, if Trump gets it, he's really going to have the lawyers and a lot in place, you know, more so than even the last time. And I would hope this time voting around that the different states, you may like your governor, okay? And maybe he's done real good for you. But if he's an establishment governor like Kemp, then you need to think about the nation for once. Kemp has not changed any of the voting in Georgia. You know, and there was a lot of voting, you know, that went wrong. He was supposed to improve the voting system and everything. He's done nothing. And so, you know, it's like Gieske told me, he said, well, Kemp, he's been real good for Georgia, you know, and, you know, I just want to vote for him. He's been good for Georgia. He has not been good for the nation. He is an establishment. So you got to look at, you know, whoever's running, if they're establishment, you get rid of them. You know, because the establishment, just like you said, they're part of the problem, maybe even more so than the Democrats right now. You know, I think the establishment people are. They're very detrimental. They want to keep their jobs, and they're on the inside of the Republican Party, and they can do a lot of harm. And, you know, I didn't mean to come off so harsh with you about the end of the show, but, you know, when you say things like the fix is in and, you know, there's nothing we can do about it and stuff like that, I don't remember your exact words. You know, for people who don't know you, you know, I knew what you were saying, but people, I always try to think of things, maybe it's a first-time listener or whoever, and they don't know you. You know, you've just got to be careful at this, you know, point in time. And if we could end, or I say we, you know, try to end your shows with at least one positive thing that we can start doing that week, you know, to turn the tide. Whether it's, you know, what I said or, you know, just one thing. I don't know. I always have to look at my glass half full. You know, that's just me. Sorry.
No, that's all right. You put up a really good point. I really like what you had said. I think if we can get a team together, a nationwide team, and break it down into whether it's precincts or counties, to identify which counties are going to be using the Dominion machine, I think we can get the Republicans out and get the mail-in ballot initiative really ramped up for the Republican Party and utilize that knowledge of where the Dominion machines are. And I'll tell you, now, I mean, I believe that that Dominion now has the $710 million that was infused by Fox News. They now have that money to do even more manipulation. So that's a really good idea. I really like that part of it. That's the first I've heard it put that way. And so there's a good start for a solution.
Well, actually, it came from somebody in my Twitter group, you know, and we've kind of been, you know, we're doing these trains, we're introducing people, you know, who may not be following, trying to get, you know, a really good group going, but we're also talking about these things too. And you know, when I heard that, I can't remember who it was said something about that, you know. And some I know Gold Baron, she is a great person to follow, and she's really been ramping it up as far as, you know, we've really got to keep our game. We cannot let anything go down. You know, she thinks we can win, but only if we do things like this.
I like that part of it. That's really, you know, I know, Al, you were a poll watcher in the last election. You know, what do you think about identifying where the Dominion machines will be used? And certainly it seems like they'll be used more frequently in this upcoming election.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. They're going to be used. I don't know how to stop that, but what we're doing at our rec, Sue, is we're trying to put through a paper ballot initiative where in the entire state of Florida, paper ballots will be used rather than counting machines. So everybody who goes
the problem is where you go in to vote, even if it's a paper ballot, at the end of the day, you're counting the votes. The Democrats know how many votes they have to manufacture. That's how they did it with Trump this time. You know, because most Republicans go into the polling places, you know, they go in person and they vote, even if it's a paper ballot. You know, if it's an area where the Democrats are harvesting or, you know, just whatever, I just think that for this election, most Republicans really need to vote by mail.
By mail?
Because we can't give that information to the Democrats, because that's what they did. Look at all of these ballots that they stopped the counting, what was it, 3 a.m.? And then a little while later, all of a sudden, you had all these trucks and everything bringing in ballots. You know, they had the ballots ready, and they knew how much they had to do, and they did just enough to get over what Trump had. We can't give him that information.
Well,
anyway,
that means that we'd have to do a better monitor. We'd have to monitor better the Secretary of States then in each state. And if you have a, you know, if majority of these blue states have left-wing secretaries of state, it will make it difficult. You know, even with the mail-in,
well,
because they'll delay.
Like the Georgia.
Or Pennsylvania that went 14 days after the election, they were still able to gather votes. 14 days after Election Day? I mean, that's just absurd.
That has to stop, too, you know. I'd like to see, follow Carrie Lake, and she's coming out a lot with what, you know, and she was trying to get in court and everything. She's being shut down and everything, but she's going a lot about what went wrong and what they did and how they did it. You know, it would be really nice if we could start looking at it state by state, you know, where the Republicans lost, and maybe for that state, you know, 5 minutes, this is what went wrong in that state. We're going to ask this state to do such and such. It doesn't matter, you know, okay, they used Dominion voting machines. They're going to do it again, you know, vote. But I've got to come up with strategies. That's what the Democrats did. That's what Barack Obama set in place. And, you know, just with Trump over Hillary Clinton, they just didn't expect, you know, that many Americans to get out of Trump. But now there's huge, and if he does get the nomination, that will be out in voting, you know, they'll have an idea of how many, but not totally. But anyway, I don't know. We've got to start thinking out of the box, and I'd like to see some of the shows doing some things like that, you know, or once a month or whatever, you know. This happened in this state. These are some things we could do, you know, to change it or to make it better. You know, in Georgia, that's a big never Trumper. Who is it? The Attorney General, major establishment, big never Trumper, you know. That's going to be a state, I think. You know, I don't know. But we got to look at stuff like that and
Roy
really
McDaniel.
Push to get the establishment out.
Including Rona McDaniel. Don't forget about her. She's She's part of that establishment process.
What is she doing in there? You know.
Uncle Mitt.
Yeah. But again, it's the establishment holding her in there.
Yep.
You know, McConnell and Romney and all the rest of them, you know, I just, I don't know how or why. We've got to work on the state where, what is he from, Virginia, McConnell? Where is he from?
Kentucky.
Kentucky, okay. You know, we've got to really start working on Kentucky to get that man out.
Well, he's already stated he's not running for re-election, so he's not, he will not be running for re-election.
Oh, he's not. Oh, that's good.
He had a fall at the old Trump hotel in Washington, D.C., and ended up in the hospital with a major concussion, and he's got some other issues as well. So it's my understanding.
I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, and it was funny. It was funny that ironically it was at the Trump former Trump hotel in Washington, D.C. So he got drunk and he fell and he hurt his head and got a severe concussion and some other medical issues. So, you know, the Senate is banged up right now, the U.S. Senate, and including their, you know, members of the Republican Party, you know, Mitch McConnell. And, so, but he will not be running for re-election.
Well, thank goodness for that.
That's a ray of sunshine.
Yeah.
What's that?
He said that was a ray of sunshine.
What did you say?
That's a ray of sunshine.
Ray of sunshine. Yeah. a bit of a happy that I must have been during when I was kind of down and out of stuff. But, people are starting to talk about as far as what we have to do. But there's no way as a Republican I would go in and vote at any polling place. And, you know, even when I can tell you this about New Mexico, when I lived there and we went in and they did that, we had, you know, voting by machine, but it would be like a paper ballot thing. Mm-hmm. You'd fill in the paper ballot. They went away from the machine. But then that paper ballot was counted by a machine. And they found that the machine that counted the paper ballots can be tapped into and changed. So even if you have a paper ballot, and, you know, you can possibly get redo it and everything, where you had a Democratic county, you couldn't get them to do it.
Gotcha.
So, you know, you just lost that too. So paper ballots are all good, but you know, they do it in other countries, and I think everybody'd be willing to wait. I'd like to see paper ballots that are hand counted and tabulated. They need to get away from the machines.
Well, unless you want to achieve a certain outcome, the machines are great, right?
Yeah. You know, but even the machines counting the paper ballot, and you know, we had the paper ballots in New Mexico. Oh, God. Oh, more than maybe 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. But they found that out, you know, and then when the Republicans, that's why in New Mexico, it's probably going to be forever blue, but you know, like Bernalillo County and stuff, and you know, they would try to, you know, well, this can't be right or whatever, and they wanted it recounted or whatever, and you know, it was the Democrats controlled county and they wouldn't do the recount.
Son of a gun.
So there's problems with paper ballots also. We really need to go back to a hand count. And I think it really could be done, you know, done by hand. I don't see any reason. How long did it take to do that in Florida when it was Jeb or it was Bush and, you know, the paper ballots, the hanging chad thing?
Oh, it was weeks.
How long did that take?
That was weeks because they were dissecting each dot that was ridiculous.
But you know, you can develop a hazy ballot like what we had was, you know, and you had to use a pencil, you know, which was really good. And I know when I did my SAT, you had to use a pencil, you know, but you just circled in, you know, a little circle for who you wanted to vote for. And that should go pretty fast as far as hand counting. You know, even if it may be a week or two before we know, that you can get enough people, you know, to get that type of counting and everything done. So what if you don't know it, you know, within 24 hours? That's what they like now, the news cycle. You know, they're going to declare it before all the polls have closed or, you know, first thing in the morning get the scoop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care about that. I'd rather see it done right.
But Dixie Notch gets it
anyway,
done in 20 minutes.
Anyway, so this wasn't brief, was it? Sorry.
Oh, no, it's good. You should call in next Monday and give us a upbeat report on some story that crosses your desk.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, play it by ear, and if something comes up, you know, or text me.
But if something comes up or there's some idea or something going on in a state or something, maybe, yeah. But, yeah, I'll try to give the positive, too. It's just pretty bleak right now. But anyway, thanks, and it was a good show, and glad you're back,
thank
Al.
You.
Oh, well, thank you. Good to hear from you. Glad to be back.
Okay.
All right. Well,
bye.
Have a nice evening, everyone, and we'll talk at you next week.
All right.
Friday,
have a good, have a great week. Turn that frown upside down.
All right. Have a nice evening.
All right. Good night, you guys.
You too. Bye.
All righty. Well, you know what?
Bye-bye.
Actually, oh, my God, what happened to my – where'd it go? I can't find my – where's my studio? Holy cow. What the hell just happened?
I'm on the phone. I can't get in there because you can't have two people in the chat room. I mean, on the board. Because you get kicked, somebody gets kicked off. It's crazy.
That's interesting. I can't. Where's the? My studio's gone. I don't know what's going on. Let me see if I can pull it back up here. Oh my Lord, have mercy. Bob Talk Studio. Let me see. It is crazy. Let me see where it's at here. Hold on a second. 7. Let me go back to 6 o'clock. Here we go. Blog Talk Studio. Let me see if it brings me back.
Right.
No.
All right. Well, I'm gonna eat some dinner. Have a
all
great
right.
week.
Thank
I'll
you. You
talk
too.
To you soon.
All right. Ciao for now.
Adios.
Let's see. End call.